Tiffany, are you doing it with your son in a certain way?
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking about this. Recently, though, he's been going through a phase where he's getting frustrated about, I feel like I can't connect to the earth. And so I've kind of just, that I was pushing him before, but I've mentioned it a little less with him. It's really just bringing up frustration. I'm actually not sure what to do with that, but usually he's pretty into I mean, he's told me he can always feel his feet, and or just about always, he's and I don't know, he's pretty connected, I think, most of the time, but I don't know, the last couple months I almost think it's gone, or he says it's gone the other way and he's feeling frustrated by it.
Does he ever lead you through a grounding?
Accidentally. like today he just and I he we were looking at ducks, but anyhow, he can just sit and I can do that too, but just in that type of way, I mean, he'll look at ducks longer than most people or look at a, I don't know, whatever natural feature, he can just sit and look, just watch it for the longest time. And a lot of times he kind of, I'll say accidentally does it. I don't know if it's an accident or not, but not stated.
Can you tell if he's getting into kind of a higher frequency, smoother vibration, like communing with the animals, not consciously, but just vibrationally?
I think yes, but I'm not totally certain. I'm not sure how I would be certain, but I think so. Or other, like, I mean, we live close to Yellowstone. He'll just sit at thermal features, one in particular, for an hour or more, and just sit there. And if there has to be something to that, if something's happening there.
Yes. He just may not have words for it.
He'll just say, I'm just connected to it, Mom.
Well, there, those are his words. And can you sense that in him? Okay. Then it's happening. The energies were really weird for the last week. I don't know if any of you experienced that. I know Lisa identified with me saying that I felt very clunky and banged into a million things and bruised up and down my body and things like that. It's been really dark and heavy at times and very light at times. It's been very dramatic. So he may be connected to what's going on with the sun and all the earthquakes and volcanoes that are happening on the earth. The earth is really active, and so is the sun. So we are changing subtly. We know that things are shaking up a bit. And yet, through all that shaking, that deep connection to our axis and toroidal field is still a sure thing. Elena, what's going on with you?
Yesterday, I had my first session with it was actually just one-on-one this time, but with someone who hadn't grounded before. And I'm grateful because I had also the contrast of meeting with our peer group yesterday morning, so it was kind of all in the same day. And what I'm noticing is I really actually enjoying kind of this deepening understanding of what ungrounded feels like in my body. and those cues. And so noticing how kind of quickly we can drop down and ground in our peer group where we're, at one level, and then with someone brand new to this practice, I was surprised by, well, by how quickly it can also happen. As hold on, I'm losing myself here.
You're actually very grounded, Elena. Follow what wants to come out of your mouth.
I guess it's mostly in the noticing of it's like the cues are becoming more dramatic in my body, around like, oh, that this energy hasn't fully settled yet. And then when it does, when we all are grounded, it's noticing that smoothness. And I would say over the course now of practicing with our peer group, it's what's coming, what the big shift for me has been around kind of, the first time I tried facilitating, I felt almost like I was trying to borrow your energy, Sarah, in terms of like bringing in that the way that you do it, and not giving myself or not trusting myself to find my own way of doing it. And that what has come through most strongly in finding my own way of doing it is the pacing, and just really slowing down or coming back to give more relaxation cues when I would want to be more like ahead already, that sort of thing. So yeah, pacing. And there was one sensation that was new to me in terms of when I was facilitating. I felt it was almost like an awareness of the space between, like, I don't know if it was my higher self and my body, or how to describe it exactly. But it is a brand new space of going into this place where the words aren't actually mine, they're coming through me. And it is a very expanded place. And it feels really amazing to speak from there. And that is validating right now, because words have been extremely challenging.
And they are, and you are expressing the guidance, the higher guidance.
I can feel that, and kind of what Cindy brought up in her discussion of that kind of wanting to go to the next step of, progressing past relaxation, into a deeper grounding. And just like the pacing is kind of this teaching that's coming through when I'm facilitating, it's like that same quality I'm inviting into my life of, okay, you want to be ahead and you have to slow down. And I just started meeting with someone who was unfamiliar to grounding, and I'm ready now to expand that into, a small group, and I'm hoping to do that over the next couple of weeks because I felt like opening a little window and peering into this brand new world of possibility. So it's pretty special.
Yes. Are you working now, doing anything in particular?
Not particular. I'm doing a lot of pet sitting and kind of odd jobs. And coming into a deep stillness, from which point I understand now that it will lead me kind of to the next point. I've been wanting to kind of run in five directions at once over and over again, and that ultimately I just collapse, and it's not sustainable. So this feels different and hopeful.
That's so good. That's just right. Just right. So, you've had all these trainings, you have all these skills, and they're, it's like when you're mixing batter, they start out as the eggs and the sugar and the flour and the vanilla. And then as you mix them, they form into a batter that then gets cooked. And then there's a product that synthesizes through all of that. And then that becomes what your offering will be. So you're in that process of synthesizing all this knowledge base that you have and experience, and it's going to come together and look completely different after it's baked into something whole. Yeah, excellent. I'm glad to hear that, Elena.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. We have Kim and Trish. Kim, where did you share Kim? I can't remember.
Hi. No, not yet.
Okay.
Let's see. I think where I want to begin with my sharing is Monday night's class that you facilitated. I found it to be very touching and informative. And I think it relates to this circle in that my peer group or our peer group and what other people had commented on the class page around, is there an order? And we've kind of already talked about this. But I thought Monday night's class was just such a perfect, beautiful example of sequencing for those who are unsure. I thought it was a wonderful example around sequencing, tempo and cadence, and transitions into deeper grounding and expansion upon expansion. And I loved the flow of that. And I'm finding in my own practice, whether it's, my daily practice, it's that is becoming established in me. I feel it. I feel the different stages. I feel more confident with where I'm at. And I can see where it's around giving myself enough time
to be with those transitions, because there just seems to be this period in my life where I'll pop up, and that may not have been my MO in the past. And now I'm seeing it for what it is. And now I feel like I'm back into this groove of sticking with it, or stick-to-itiveness, in a good way. And the benefits of really, truly grounding and clearing all the way through, and knowing what that feels like, what my alignment feels like, and not just half-assed, or part way, or whatever you want to call it. It's like really having a sense of what that feels like. And also, this time period with this class, it's also about that balancing act between being too regimented and too rigid, versus letting myself explore, stepping out of that perfectionism, and some, almost ha like having an attitude of like, it's okay. It's okay if today is, this is where it's at. So there's this kind of back and forth going on. There's a piece around, I've only facilitated once, and I'm coming up this weekend to facilitate again. And the past time and this time leading up to those sessions, it's just so nice to not feel afraid. There's more of a relaxed calmness around it, and I feel capable, and I trust that I will feel. I'm a feeler, so I know that I will feel and have felt those different stages. And it's just listening to that and what happens within an hour of our time together. So I think it goes back to being comfortable with where I'm at, or more comfortable than I have been in the past, and that's refreshing. And then lastly, I'll say just there's a piece around communication. I'm finding that there's things that are coming out of my mouth, and this is in everyday life I'm talking about. It's been really fun because I'm just saying stuff. That's true. And I'm not holding back and being direct, but I'm being grounded, and it's with friends and my boys, and it just, that part is very unexpected, and it's also delightful, and it's fun to be in that directness. I've been surrounded by that for a long time, and it's nice for me to be like a higher level of that. Right? You know what I'm talking about, so.
Yes,
Not jagged, like not pointed. Okay.
Yeah, you're a beautiful example of integrating this into every part of your life. Life is your group. Really, 'cause, and it's a lovely example of that, a model of that. As you were speaking, the light was really coming through.
Oh, good. Yeah. I feel strong. I feel good. And then as far as working with some outside groups, I have a couple asks, and one is with a mother and her 8-month-old son. And another one is with a woman who is, she's my dog sitter, and she's in nursing school. And so she is trying to gather some of her nursing students. So we'll see. The most benevolent outcome on that one, I would love to work with some people.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Great. Okay, Trish, you there?
Okay, am I unmuted? Oh, good.
No, we got you.
I don't even really know how to put it into words. First, I'll tell you that for like the first hour, I don't know where I went when everybody started talking, but I was just vibing away. And then I came in and I go, wait, what are they talking about? I'm so sorry. Some days I
Well,
just can't stop that. I needed that really badly, Sarah, because today's John John's birthday. So I needed to do that. But
yes,
I don't think
but
I
that's
don't.
fine, Trish. That's fine. You're getting the essence of what you really need. So, good. I'm glad.
And then plus I kind of told you some of it. I would say if I had anything to comment, I already told you, Sarah, in a private, but and I haven't written it yet. I'm very sorry. I'm a little busy. I'm surprised. I was surprised in leading the groups in our peer group of I'm really at a loss for words for it. I can sense, I can feel like what other people are doing during it. Like I can tell if somebody goes down to their feet or comes back up in their head. And it's not in that case, it was similar to what you said about how when people go into their third eye, your head starts to kind of, you feel the pressure in your head. So I did experience that, and it's just being, I can't even, I did tell Sarah, but I'll tell you guys, I can't believe how she does it with 30 people who she doesn't even really know when she starts a group, and how much they bring to the group that you have to get clear or relax or get them to relax or let go of that energy that they, just their normal days. And then they all come together that I just sense that. That's been my experience with it. And as far as the one-on-one, I've done two of them. The first person that I got to relax probably was, I don't know if it was a half an hour. I just went with however I was sensing the energy shifting, and she opened her eyes and she goes, "That's the first time I can hear in weeks." And I said, "Oh, well, that's good. I told you about that, Sarah." And then today, the person today was not planned. Neither one has really been planned. It just kind of showed up. And it was challenging to get them to relax. They had issues going on in their lives. And I could tell when they went down and when they came back up into their head or out of their heart. And then I'd have to try and sort of guide her to pay attention to your heart. I suggested, why don't you put your hand on your heart so you can throw your attention to your heart. And she did a little bit better, but she just had so much going on. I'm not sure really, and given a half an hour or sort of, it wasn't like a setup session. It just, would you like me to help you kind of thing.
That's
And
beautiful.
so that's kind of, so
Yeah,
those have been
and
my
it's
experiences.
Yeah, it's good to have experience with people who can't settle down because they have so much going on.
Oh yeah,
It's
and not be attached to the outcome.
right,
Like, did I
exactly.
fix her?
Right.
Maybe not. I wanted to, but then I realized in the want, I was putting more pressure into that situation. So then I thought, okay, I have to back off. So I call it sit on your heels. I paid attention to my grounding.
Beautiful teaching here. Because that is actually a very common situation to run into.
Oh, yeah.
More common than usual. It's most people have so much going on that they can't even, spend 30 seconds paying attention to themselves. So it's really good. And for all of you, when you run into this situation, don't feel like you're failing, because there are going to be many people that you can't help settle in. One of the reasons I have the meditation before a session is to at least give them an extra 15 minutes to try to settle in and see if that can happen. So it's a really good experience. What, Trish?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You were going to say something more.
I might have forgotten.
Okay.
I might have forgotten, so it probably wasn't that important. No, I. Oh well, I will say the one today had two small children, and she was complaining about how they were, really really having a hard time. And I just said, you're the leader. It starts with you. You have to get to the relaxed state in order to have it pass on to them. I don't know if I was right in saying that, but that's what I felt to say. So I don't know. I'll see if she gets back to me and the kids were better.
Okay, that's excellent. I'm glad you had that experience. Have you tried sitting and grounding with the horses in the stable?
Oh, if I'm not grounded, Thor stomps his foot, and I mean it's not a little stomp either. It's a bang and a bang and a
Well, he's
bang.
a big horse. He's
Yeah, so
a giant horse.
I do it. Yeah, I do it differently than other people. I actually like give him a big hug and try to connect up heart to heart. Put my chest against his side and try to connect up heart to heart, and then what I call swooning, get into their energy field because they're always grounded. I don't think they're, well, I had one horse that wasn't, but these two are always grounded. I think most horses are, unless they're afraid, and then that will unground a horse. And they just become, or I can give an example out of my crazy Labrador. If she's not really grounded, she has a look in her eye like she is absolutely possessed. I'm like, oh, come here, Sophie, come here. And so that's I will hug her and just keep hugging her until she like relaxes. And then
Oh.
she usually does. So that's sort of the way I experience it with the animals.
Yeah, I'm just having an image of you sitting in the barn with the horses on each side of you and just you grounding.
I do sit there. I do sit
Okay.
there, but I'm not, I don't, I wouldn't say I'm actually like, I'm not thinking about grounding. There's a trunk that sits on the walkway to the entrance to the hay door, and a horse can be on one side of the pan horse panels, or there, it's outside, and then the other one, and it has full view of the mountain. And after I feed him, I'll sit there and just relax. And usually they both fall asleep.
Wow, that's nice. That's a beautiful communion.
Yeah, so I guess if that's grounding, then I guess, but they ground me. I don't think they need me to do it, but yeah, they like it when I do that. And sometimes if I get up and move, Sarah, one of the two of them will follow me. Like, I wasn't done yet. Where are you going? I guess. Anyway, but yeah, that's probably that image because I might have done that already today.
That's so those of you who have pets or around animals, start playing with your grounding around them.
Sarah?
My dog. Oh, I'm sorry.
Who do we have?
It's good. I just wanted to share, I recently bought a grounding sheet, and that's on my bed. And Stella, my dog, she sleeps up on the bed with me, and she's sleeping differently, and she's an older girl. And I'm noticing that her bumps, her breed has, as they get older, they get these bumps and they get kind of oozy. And I'm noticing that that grounding sheet is actually healing some of those bumps.
How
And
nice.
just her demeanor, she's got a little more vitality, and a little less of the barking thing going on. So, I'm loving that.
Oh, good for her too. And Laura, what were you going to say?
Oh, my dog wants a certificate of completion at the end of the training. He's been at every single one. And interestingly, and she sleeps most of the time, and she will sigh when I release, and vice versa. So I'll find myself getting deeper and exhaling, and she'll just exhale, or she'll let out an exhale, and I can feel my seat relaxing at the same time. It's really special.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
At the end of the month, I'm going to I was connected with this woman who runs a cat sanctuary that she helps foster. It's like in this beautiful little old 1900s bungalow, and she does people come in and do art programs and stuff. So my friend introduced me to her, and I'm going to lead a sacred circle ceremony there at the end of the month with the cats in the cat room.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'm so
Okay.
excited to see
Let
how the
us
cats
know.
respond to
Yeah,
that.
you better take the cue from Trish about maybe they're gonna be the ones that lead
Yeah, right?
it.
Absolutely. I could, I'll look to all the seen and unseen beings. Yeah.
Right. Also, I would be asking permission to enter the sacred space of that rescue
Yeah,
place.
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. There are beautiful guides looking over that place, so ask permission to
Okay.
enter there.
Absolutely. We'll do.
Oh, wait, sir, I have a question for you. I've been wanting to ask this of you a lot. When you ask permission, enter a forest, enter a church, enter into a circle with somebody or something, and you get a great big no, are you supposed to heed it?
So, yeah.
So how do you do that if it's a person?
Well, it's interesting. So it depends on the situation. Are you thinking of a particular situation?
Oh, I've had a few happen to me in my lifetime where I did back off. I just backed off. I didn't leave the room or anything. I just
Right.
backed off and said, I think one person, they said, perhaps now is not the right time, i.e. Kate.
Oh, okay.
So for me, I see it differently when that happens. Sometimes it's like a for me, the way, I don't know if I should say that. I don't know how to tell you. You just get a great big no. And
Right.
what I don't understand is I mean, I go with it, but how do you differentiate their no from your no?
Oh, that's a good question.
You don't have to answer right now. You can
Well,
answer that,
I don't
but
know. To me, it's clear. I mean, it's the same sensation, like, don't go any further. You know what I mean? There's like a stop. And then it seems if I honor that, in some sense, it doesn't matter to me And then if it doesn't matter to me, it usually shows me something about why it's a no. And it's not obvious about why it's a no. We can make up a psychological or emotional reason why we think it's a no, but it has more to do with the timing of the person's unfolding. And whether it's just a time where you leave things alone. It's not necessarily a resistance or saying no to growth or opening or healing. There really is this divine timing that I've learned to respect and not take personally. So to me, a no means it's just not the right time. And
So, what happens if that no is in a group?
tell me what you're imagining. Oh, like when I'm leading a group?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you have a group of 20 people in the room and one person's like, nope.
Oh, so I've had that a lot. That happens a lot, actually.
I know. I just want to know what you do.
I just continue on with the guidance, and unless they get really disruptive, then I have to stop and say maybe go take a walk or something. But I follow what the guidance is having me do, and
Okay.
just it's not their time. It's not what they can do that day. And so, as long as you follow the guidance and not get entwined with the person. And I really have had that a lot, a lot. And that's one thing I'm really grateful for in the Monday night group now, because this group has refined up so beautifully. And this has taken years. But to appreciate that everyone in that group is a yes, I want to be there, an aligned person, it's pretty amazing. But no, I encounter that all the time. And if I'm working with an individual that is saying no, sometimes I'll be 10 minutes into the session and recognize that just nothing's going to happen. And I'll say, you know what? This is not the right day time, and I may not be the right person. Why don't we call it to an end here? And I'm going to refund your money. And let's just see what happens. Let's see if there's a better time to reconvene. Or if you don't want to, then that's fine too. I've done that.
Okay, now I have one more question. Oops,
Uh-huh.
am I still unmuted? Okay.
Now I can hear you.
How do I put this in words? I just have to say it, and then you can maybe the way it happens with me, and that's just me. I don't know about anybody else, but with me, maybe I'll be working, or I've been with somebody. And that person eagerly wants to know what I know. And it's like they come out of their body and come right up to your face. I mean, they are like gonna claw at you practically to get the information out of you. And you're kind of like, this won't be good. We shouldn't do this.
Oh, why
What
not
is
see it? You do want to see it. You want to see
Okay.
it because it's just the clarity of what is happening. And
Okay.
that just means that your grounding is what they're going to see. And you stay in your grounding, and they're going to get the sense of that grounding. And that's another part. You know, I was actually going to bring this up tonight because of some of the things you've experienced, everyone's experienced. But remember, we've talked about impatience so much. And most people are impatient. Most people are impatient. And that impatience is one of the most disrupting energies of a circle. They're, like you said, they're wanting to know. They want to get to a place. They want to have this experience. They want to be fixed. They want to get out of their discomfort. They want to get out of pain. And that it all falls under the category of impatience. And now I want you to take a look at this. I want you to take a look at how long it took me to be able to do the meditation on Monday night, how slow it was, how I could bring clarity to those transition points. That was not, I couldn't do that with the group until this past Monday. Over all these years, because there were still remnants of impatience. And so, what I would consider you seeing her come up right in front of you would be part of, I would put that in the category of impatience. They're trying to get something. Okay, they're pushing.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they want to get something.
Yeah, it feels very violating when
It's
it
very
happens.
violating, yes. And some of you might remember that I've said this before, but that was one of my worst qualities. And my teacher said to me, one day you're going to have people sitting in front of you that are as impatient as you are, and you're going to get to know what that feels like.
Yeah.
And I did, and I know. But take a look at how mature and advanced our group is on Monday night. And it took me this many years to be able to do that because there was very little impatience in the group.
Is the impatience in the group not there because we're grounding harder or better, or where that's why? Okay.
Did everyone understand that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Totally.
So I had to learn patience, and that was really hard for me. And having patience allows you to be in divine timing. And it's not like I wanted to be able to do that meditation with the group 5 years ago. I knew it was there, it needed to show up, but just being patient and being in divine timing allowed me to just go with the flow of it and be ready to be able to do it when the opportunity presented itself. If you think about that meditation on Monday night, that was really slow and very delineated, like Kim said. I've very rarely been able to present that gap in that transition time. And you need deep patience to be able to experience that because you just want to rush through that. And how leading up to that for the last year, I've been guiding people to be gentler and gentler and kinder to themselves so that the negative criticism, which is part of impatience, would start to diminish enough that you could start sensing the more subtle space in the meditations. So this has been about 2 years of leading up to the point where I could do the meditation on Monday with an advanced group.
We got there because of you.
Well, no, you guys made it possible to get there.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
But you taught us.
Just brought you along. But I want you to I want you to appreciate and have an understanding of this right timing. And not criticize yourself for it or judge the other person for it. You know, I've been guiding this group towards this. The planetary changes have been moving and making it more possible for this to happen. The solar flares and all the earth changes, all of that goes into, and all the astrological changes, all of that goes into all of us being able to do that meditation on Monday night.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks for bringing that up. I hope that was helpful.
It was. It was. Okay. It still happens sometimes. Thank you.
Okay. So, here's what's happening now. It's so funny to put it in these words. Over the next month, you are going to feel yourself set. What would be the words? Integrating, assimilating, and making these practices your own. And you will feel as if you've been untied from the teacher, from me. You will feel like you're standing on your own 2 feet, that you'll be able to walk forward with this. And each of you will be in a different place with it. But you will have the foundational teachings integrated into your being. And then they're going to be growing from there. You'll be tending, your guides will be tending, and it's not a linear process. It grows with you as your life grows. But you're going to feel like set free in a way. And there's a scary part of that and there's an exciting part of that. But by the time we meet in July, and I want you to continue with your peer groups. I want you to go farther. There's no restrictions on how far I want you to go. I want you to test all this out. And I want you to practice with other people. And there will be a sense of completion of this part of the training by the time we meet in July. And then we'll have a period of integration. And then, depending on guidance, we'll see if there's another level to this training or not. It may have all been delivered or not. I don't know yet. But you have certainly risen to the occasion, each one of you. You have made remarkable adjustments and shifts and of receiving the teachings in a beautiful way. And I just want you to be prepared You know, it's kind of like that, a completion of a whole cycle of learning and experiencing that is very deep. And then it'll take some time to integrate. And if you want to continue peer group meetings afterwards, or the peer groups want to reconfigure, that'd be great. If you want to keep practicing with people outside of the experience, that's great. And it'll be a period of time where you'll see how this starts integrating in your life. But I really am appreciative of what you have put into this whole experience with your whole being. It gives me a sense of having passed on something very important that will be well taken care of. In the spiritual world, there is a way of describing someone as being trustworthy to hold the teachings, that you're entrusted to these teachings and will respect them and take care of them. Do you have a sense of that?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
So let's see how it goes over the next month. I'm sure and don't be surprised if some things become even more challenging and you're faced with things like Trish brought up with someone who couldn't settle. And that would be a very good experience, okay? Want you to have a variety of experiences as you move forward here. And then tell us about them in the comments. Love reading the comments.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, my friends. Anything else? Okay, well, many blessings. Trish, were you going to say something?
No, I just said I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you, and many blessings.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Blessings all.
Thank you. Blessings to all of you.